Hi guys, I'm Justia Rhodes with W.A.S.WeAllSurvive. And today I have my surviving friends, Jorge.
Hi, my name is Jorge.
And Steve.
Hello.
So today we are discussing these two males' journeys of their experience of being a gay male. And obviously everyone's journey is completely different, and it doesn't mean this is has to be something you relate to or something that you have experienced. So everyone's going to have different beliefs, even on the same topic. So I'm going to start with the first question of, when was the first time you realized your sexual orientation was different from another male?
Me first?
Yeah.
I think I was about 6 years old when I knew something was off. Right? Okay. You know what I mean?
No, but yeah. What about you, Steve?
I think I started noticing little things. I had a very specific uncle who would point out that I played with dolls. I had two girl cousins, but I didn't really understand what was going on until I got to sixth grade and we had to start changing in the locker room. And I realized that I was catching myself intrigued by what guys had and how they looked, and I wanted to see more. So I would say definitely around that sixth grade level, that's when I really started understanding something was different.
I think I played with dolls too, like for a little minute.
Find that alarming. Like if I have a son, I wouldn't think that's a, you know, anything to trigger or signs of possibly being gay.
I think in Hispanic culture, it's a big tell. We're not supposed to be playing with dolls as boys growing up.
Yeah.
I just feel like dolls are just like little action figures. Like, what's the difference? You know,
I was playing with Barbies. I was changing their clothes.
I feel like boys that are heterosexual, like even today, like they'd be like, yeah, my mom caught me wearing her shoes or something. It's a curiosity. When you're a kid, I feel like you're just curious. And even me, as a member, as a child, I was curious of like, you know, bodies and stuff like that. And just like, I would watch and observe and I'll be like, ew, yes. But I guess in that, you could say, hey, I was more intrigued, and that could be more of a sign. But I think every child is like very aware. There's even children that are very horny, like very like 3-4 year olds that are horny. And you'd be like, how? You're only 3-4 years old. But it's true.
It's true. Yeah.
You know, I've seen some things that I'm not going to call anything out from when I was younger, but
yeah.
I was like, what?
I'm surprised you were close to it. You never told me. I would have never thought. I mean, I know I did.
It's not usually something I lead with.
So I would start, I'm going to start with you, Steve. When did you come out the closet, and like, what made you come out to the closet to start telling people? Like, who was the first person, and how did it like, what was the decision that you came to make that?
So I kind of have two coming out of the closet stories. The first one is because when I was young, I was caught having sex with a guy by my dad. And it was very traumatizing. It was very confusing. I didn't know what was going on. I was still, at this point, I was maybe a freshman, sophomore in high school. So I had to battle what my parents wanted and what I was confused about. So I didn't really know how to handle the situation. But eventually I suppressed it. And then years later, I joined the military. I moved away from family and friends. And I took the opportunity to figure out who I was and learn what those feelings that I was having inside to explore more was. So once I realized at about 22 that I was like, okay, yeah, I'm officially gay. Like, you know, I think I need to start. I started dating a guy. I was like, I have to start telling my family, but I waited another year and a half to finally come out at about like 24 years old. And I started coming out to my family at that point.
Okay. So I'm a little, you might have to clarify, a little confused on the half that you were saying you got caught during sex.
Yeah.
So you had to literally come out to someone to obviously get to that point, right?
Yeah. I mean, just back in those days, we used Adam for Adam and Adult Friend Finder. And those were the only people who knew guys who I was potentially talking to hook up with.
I'd be on Craigslist.
Oh. Yeah, Craigslist was huge back then, as disgusting as that sounds.
That's literally true.
I know a lot of people, use Craigslist for things, which is, I've only knew Craigslist for like buying stuff.
How old were you though?
Way more.
How old were you? You were a sophomore?
I think I was a freshman in high school. Yeah.
Okay, so you were probably like what, 16?
About 15. 15, 14, okay. Yeah, with whatever that age is.
Okay, so that was a different, you know, experience. And yeah, did you have a conversation with your dad after with that or no?
The conversation was very one-sided at first.
Like on his side only?
Yeah, mostly my parents. You know, I'm first generation to this country, so a lot of their understanding of what it meant to be gay and what it looks like to be gay, just what they didn't want that for me. And also, I mean, I guess, you know, to no fault of their own, they just didn't understand it. So they didn't want me to be that way, but I knew that it wasn't up to them. I knew better that it was up to me, but I was also very confused. Like I said, I was still a freshman.
I don't think that's even up to you though. That's not up to you either. It's who you are.
It's who I am, but I was still struggling with those ideas, those concepts and everything. Right. So I needed the space to figure that out. And in that time, in respecting my family's customs, traditions, I suppressed it for a while. You know, I eventually met a wonderful girl and I fell in love with her and I'm still in love with her to this day. We have a beautiful 17-year-old daughter. Wow. She, you know, they are the love of my life for sure. But you know, that had nothing to do with what happened later on in life. I had the opportunity to, like I said, I joined the military and no one knew me. I knew no one. And I took the opportunity to really dive in and figure out who I was.
So I'm going to hold my question on that one because I'm going to get to him with the stick to the pattern, but I am really curious because I have a question on that later, but I'm going to hold you on that one.
We'll go back.
I'm going to go back to you and about how you came out the closet and your experience.
So I think I came out of the closet when I was like 17.
Okay.
And that was because I just didn't give a fuck.
You were just kind of already doing your own thing and
I was excited. Yeah.
Who did you tell first?
My best friend there. She already knew.
Oh, it was like, all right.
Like, we already know.
What about your family? How did that happen?
Well, interesting enough, I came out to my family when I was in Colombia. And well, you know how that came.
Yeah.
I don't, so.
Well, at the time, I was dating Steve. And I was in Colombia, so that was the only reason why I came out to my family.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah, so thank you. Because if it wasn't for that, I probably wouldn't have came out.
Did they take it okay?
They were very upset. I was very worried about my grandpa because he's super old and super, like, you know, old school. But he was very, he's like, well, he's my grandson. I'm going to, you know, support him no matter. Regardless. Yeah. So I was very relieved when I came out of my
house. Like, whew, that's off my chest.
Yes.
That's really weird because people don't have that. And, you know,
yeah.
And he had the opposite experience, obviously. And that can really make someone feel like there's something wrong with you instead of like feeling I'm perfectly fine as it.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean my mom like was very like giggly over the phone. So but my sister then tells me that that's just when she gets nervous. But I think they always know a little bit.
I mean it sometimes it's like I think as parents they're just like I want grandchildren, I want this. Like I don't think it's like I would selfishly that would be mine. Like I want some genetic like I will adopt as well. I love them, but I kind of want. I don't care if you're gay.
Yeah.
Can we at least inseminate another woman real quick?
Yeah.
Like, and, that's
that makes perfect. And that makes perfect sense because even as a gay man, my daughter recently came out as gay also, and you do kind of take that step back because you know what that struggle is. You know what obstacles you may have to face, and that is not what I want my daughter to go through. Everything that I do is for her to have a better life.
Right.
So even when she came out and you know, I started thinking about like, damn, like I but I did, that's not what I wanted. But you know, obviously I'm not in control of it. I'm just here to love her, support her, guide her, and you know, just, she has to go on her own journey, and I could just be as open as possible with her so she can make the best decisions, and she can always know that she can come back to me and I'm always going to be here to love her no matter what.
How old is she now, by the way?
17. She is 17.
Oh my gosh, she's grown.
She's a big baby.
She's grown.
Yeah, yeah. She's a big baby.
It just makes you think, like, and I hope this is not offensive. Is it genetics then? Like, is it something that
That's a question, right?
Like well, I don't think there's any answers to that, though.
But there's no proof.
Right. I don't know if it's genetics or some people, and a lot of people would say, oh, it's because of your environment. You've probably seen it and now you believe it.
Yeah, but
I do think a lot, no, but there is getting too much. And I don't think a lot of children should be able to choose you know, to be a transgender and stuff like that. I think it's time because, like, it could be like what's in, like, or you know what I mean? There is some things that can have a great influence, and it confuses, you know, people, and they, or like, you know, there is some girls that are bi, but I don't really think some of them are bi. It's that they're being pressured into being bi to keep a man, and that's what's new in, and you know what I mean? So some things I feel like are influential, and some things are just what it is. And it's really hard. So I think as children, it's good to show like to love, like let them find themselves. You know what I mean? So absolutely. If they grow up, you can't control like if your parents are that, and there's nothing for that. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being gay, but it's like, let them discover it on their own. You know what absolutely. I mean? So, cause then you don't want them to be mentally.
Were you like shocked? Sorry. Were you like surprised or something? Like, were you taken back?
When she came out?
Yeah. Cause I never like.
No, I mean, I guess it's, you know, kind of like she said, it's as a parent, you kind of almost know, you know, your children, you know, them inside and out. So were there signs, were there tells? Yeah, absolutely. But it was her journey to go on, and it was for her to figure out. And definitely after my coming out, being caught or whatever, I knew that it was going to, it has to be on her terms. So I never pushed it. I just was like, you know, when she's ready, she's ready. And when she was, she, you know, she told me first, and then we spoke about how we were going to tell her mom, and we came to that plan. And, you know, we, and then from there, we just little by little, you know, the rest of the family. But then at the end of the day too, we don't owe that explanation to anybody. You know, we, at that point, it was just between me, her, and her mother. So, and that's all that
matters. Even if parents don't accept, and, you know, I feel like it, that doesn't matter. It's your life, your journey. You have to live with yourself. And you cannot live for someone else, period. Like, you'll end up, that's how people end up suicidal. That's how people start feeling mentally ill, because they're just not accepting their self and their own skin. And right. There's which nothing
by wrong our with community your... has one of the highest suicide rates.
Right. And it's sad. And the pressures are, it's families that, you know, when they come out the closet, they shun them or tell them that they need to go to church or put them in like some kind of cult form. And it's crazy. Or lock them or start abusing them. And it's that, and that's why I really say, for even when I was saying before, kids, even though you might not, I would say, you know, they shouldn't go out and come out in the closet until they're at least teens, and more because you don't know how your parents are gonna react. You don't know, and as much as you think they're loving and caring, you might see the complete opposite. And for their safety, when you're younger, I feel like they can put themselves in harm's way.
Well, I kind of wish I would have came out like way sooner.
Honestly. I mean, some people are lucky to have good families, but you will think you have the sweetest mother, and you just don't know where like that could be a trigger for her.
Yeah, if not everybody,
as a kid, you don't know that.
Not everybody's.
But there's also special. There's also kids that know at a very young age. No, and they know. Like, I understand the whole, like, you know, the media and the throwing it and the this and the that, and it could be like almost like, oh my god, well, if we see it, then we think it, then we act on it, and things like that. But there are kids who know very, very early,
and they just
know, and
then, because that's, you
know, they
who
have to be able to have that space to come out, whether someone's going to agree with them or not. But it's up to us as adults to like help guide them, like, look, you know, let's just, you just take your path, don't worry about being gay, straight, trans, this, you know, blue, purple, just live your life and make the decisions that are going to make you happy. And if it turns that you in fact are this or that, then cool, but that doesn't matter, because at that age, for me, like I tell my daughter, only thing that matters right now is that you graduate high school, get into college, and get a good job. Like, but those are what's important for you right now at this age in your life.
Right, age group.
But granted, we were all kids once, and we know that's not all there is to life in that
moment. Well, how do you feel about a six-year-old that knows that they're gay and going to a gay pride at six? Like, 6 years old? Like, how? Like, I feel like, how? Like, I'm not saying you can't know, because, like, I have a brother that's a transgender who knew, like, he didn't feel like that was him, and he was a young child. Like, I seen him shave his head at 4 or 5 years old. Like, he did not want to be a girl, did not feel like a girl. And I understand, like, now, like, he's in that transformation, and that really says you know, a lot, you know, because, like, he wasn't brought up around anyone like that or anyone gay, never saw any of, and it's just who he was from the beginning. And but at the same time, I wouldn't want even a straight or anyone to be going so hard, making rat. It's like getting a tattoo. It's like, you want to make sure that's what you want. And I feel like as a child, you really don't know what you want until you're older. It's like, make strong decisions until you actually feel it. That's why. That's me.
Let me tell you something. I knew I wanted dick until I was 6 years old.
Yeah, but I don't want, even if it's a straight, my little girl wanted dick at 6 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I don't right. think those kind of decisions should be made until you can make wise decisions, you know? Yeah,
I do think that there's levels to the transition, and it definitely, right. for me, no offense to anybody or the community, but it's not something I would go or allow my child to go through so early. However, I never had to go through that. But I do know as a parent what I would have to do, or think what I would have to do, and that would start therapy and this and that, and going separately together,
right.
start those processes early. So as we grow in age, we can make those right decisions. But right. to full on start a transition process at 6 years old, I don't think
yeah.
that.
Yeah, even from like yeah, there's nothing like it's good being in your skin, but it's like, you know, you don't know what you want sometimes. You know, and I who I am as a, I was very mature as a young person, but at the same time, you still develop. Our brains are not even fully developed until 25, they say. So it just, yeah, just being precautious, you know, yeah. because, and as you come out, you're going to have to know how to handle things that you don't know how to handle at 6 years old, like the mean people that, you know, kind of people like that. And it's and then why would you burden your child with that from that transition so early when they're not capable to take that heat, you know? So I don't think it's healthy. I don't think a six-year-old should be hated for who they are.
No,
obviously not. Well, that's a whole new thing in school now. Like, even young yeah. people are like going really hard, and you're just putting so much pressure to be exposed and acceptance, and it should be accepted, but then you have to also understand there's not acceptance. So.
Welcome to 2023,
babe. Right. So either way, moving forward, I want, you mentioned, I'm just going to skip over to it because it's been in my mind before I lose it, is that you had said that you've been with a woman, obviously you have a daughter. So are you fully gay or are you bi?
I'm fully gay.
Fully gay. Okay. Because yeah. you said you loved her, and I know you love her as a person. So I'm like, I don't know.
I get what he's saying. I know what he means by that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she's my first, she's not my first girlfriend, but she was like, you know, official girlfriend. We got married, we had a baby. Right. So
is she like your high school sweetheart too?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but the me that's being what makes gay me aspect maybe has nothing to do with me not being with her anymore. When we separated, it was for completely different reasons. I then joined the military a year later. And then that's when I figured out, okay, I'm going to dive into this boat and figure out who I am. But I mean, would I say I was bi up until maybe, I think the last time I had sex with a girl, I was like 25. So that was 10 years ago. But yeah, definitely no, girls are not on my radar. I'm 100% gay.
Okay. So you were able to look past that though at one point. Like a vagina. Some people, I know a lesbian, this one lesbian, she couldn't even look at dick. Like, it made her want to throw up. It didn't make you throw up, obviously. So you felt comfortable in some form.
I think there were stages to the acceptance of me being gay. I remember the first time I had sex with a guy, I felt completely disgusting afterwards. And then it would take me a few more months to even do something again. And then eventually that gap got smaller and smaller. But that feeling still remained because I was also fighting the demons of my parents of, you know, growing up first generation in this country back in the day. You know, we were not where we were back then when I was 15 to where we are now that I'm 35.
Right.
So there was a lot of struggles there. I mean, even don't ask, don't tell. You know, I was married to my husband and it was illegal. It was completely hidden from everybody until don't ask, don't tell went away. So we had to handle that in the military too. So it just eventually, obviously everything gets easier, so, you know, and thankfully with time it has, but there's definitely different obstacles at every stage of it.
Okay. Well, that's really a good point for a lot of different little things that you just said there, but I love it. I'm going to go back to this questions on both, because you both said about you're coming out the closet. The next question is, have you been bullied during high school or the transition? Well, I guess depending on your transition. Was there anyone that shamed you or made you feel uncomfortable about who you are? And you had to obviously handle that either mentally or physically, I guess, depending how the outcome came. So I'm going to start with Jorge because
Well, yeah, I definitely got bullied up until like sixth grade. And then I think I got fed up and I just fought one kid that called me a faggot and I beat his ass.
Okay.
And then, yeah, people stopped messing with me after that. But yeah, I would get bullied a lot because I was very flamboyant when I was very little.
Okay, so you came out early, and so I went kind of just like, and see, and the kids are kind of
I mean,
harsh.
no, but I didn't come out till like I was like way totally after high school. But like
What
after
do you
that,
mean?
nobody bothered me anymore. Nobody asked me
But you said
anything.
you got into a fight when you were younger.
Yeah, because somebody called me a faggot and I gave him faggot.
Okay.
Basically. But yeah, it was rough because I went to a school community where it was very highly populated with Latinos and there was like MS-13ers, kings, and all this shit. So like it was either like, it's like survival of the fittest. Like you
Right.
either survived or you didn't. So I chose to survive. I mean, what else were you
So
gonna
is that what you could say? You felt like it was a harsh school, so it didn't make you want to really come out.
do? Yeah, I'm scared.
Okay.
I'm
That and that
scared.
so it was like a mental abuse for yourself. Like,
Definitely.
okay. So
Definitely.
that's 100% understandable. A lot of people go through that. I think all teens go through that in their own form, whether they're popular or not. We all have our fears and wanting to be accepted. But many of us aren't.
Back then, it was really hard to like, talk about that stuff.
Of course,
It was not, it wasn't like, not, it was very uncommon. It was not like
and I
now.
think it's just starting to get accepted. Even
Right?
though we said we've been in that process, I think we're just at the beginning stage.
Yeah.
We're like,
And
we're
even then, I feel like now it's too normal. Like, we're normalizing it too much. Like,
I think they're trying to normalize it, and they should normalize it. But I do also think there should be levels to exposing, as in what we allow our children. Like, there's too much stuff going on because, like, bathrooms and stuff.
yeah, like
Not,
different.
there's too many things for people to get raped and used and take advantage of, saying, "Oh no, but I'm gay," or "Oh, I'm a transgender," and I get nervous on those kind of things.
Yeah, we never know binary bathrooms when I went to school, that's for sure. Now there's nine binary bathrooms, and that is something I don't understand.
I think unless there's a person in there to make sure everyone's being safe and they have like a person to stay in that little corner,
And like
I'm
they should just
nervous.
have private bathrooms that say for everyone. Private bathroom,
I
I
mean,
don't get it.
it's the same concept with like the family restroom. You could take that approach on it, but it's the people who are scared to take that step. They don't want to say, "Hey, we're okay with this, so we're gonna do this," because they're scared of backlash that'll come towards their school or their
Right.
community or the main population in that area. But to be better, we have to do better, and we have to take those risks and take those chances. And if someone's gonna get upset over adding a bathroom for just non-binary or for whatever purposes, then the bigger issue is that person. Because why are
Well,
you
what
so
about like
stuck on not having that third option?
there is I think the third option is like I said, good. I just think there should be, not because like for gays, but because there is people that lie to have sex, to hurt someone, to do certain things and take advantage of the
It's
situation.
okay to have non-binary bathrooms. I just don't think they're
Right.
appropriate for a middle school or a high school. So.
I don't think it's appropriate for an elementary period. I don't think it's
They're
appropriate
not.
because they're not even aware of their own body.
I don't think they're appropriate for school, period. Maybe
But you
college.
also have to understand you don't know what those feelings are because you never went through them.
Well, me,
So you
no.
don't know. Well, no,
Yeah.
both of you. You, none of us do. We don't know what it is to be five and struggle with, am I a boy or am I a girl? We
True.
can't take that away from someone else's experience because we don't understand it and because we want to say you're a child, you don't know any better. When actually, when you
I don't
put
think
your
it's
mind
that.
to it, children have that unfiltered love to give, that understanding where that, if Barack Obama said it, we aren't born to hate, we're taught to hate. So if we give that same mentality to our kids, like because they can't do this or do that, then or that they don't know right from wrong, they do. They absolutely do because they're watching it around us every single day. So to
Right.
diminish a person for that, no matter the age, just because I'm older, you're younger, I'm big, you're small, it's not fair either.
I agree. I like I said, for me, it's not that. It's more of a safety thing. I'm really concerned on safety, just knowing how cruel the world is.
Okay, but
And
okay. I mean, I could walk into a girl's bathroom right now and go have sex with a girl or a guy. The opportunity is still there.
right.
I can lock any door. It doesn't matter what's on the front of it.
I just feel that if you do that, because like if it just exposes the idea, like for instance, my brother would talk about, like, one time he went into the man's bathroom, and then he'll see, and then, like, he had someone, like, at the stall, and he was so nervous that he was going to end up hurting him. He ended up just being like, oh, my bad, it was the wrong stall. But that fear, and it could, like, you've seen, like, 13 Reasons Why, like, someone, like, getting hurt. Oh, yeah. And I'm nervous if someone had an opportunity, and I do believe, like, there is monitors usually in hallways, but we might not be where it needs to be at the right moment at the right place. If you're going to have binary, I'm not against it, but I do think they should be stationed, if not at least in the bathroom, outside the bathroom. You know what I mean? I just for safety reasons. Like, it's not for any other reason.
And you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I know I read about some school, I don't know where, but once kids go through a certain level of therapy, that's how they get the key to that bathroom.
That's pretty cool.
So there's levels to it. You know, there are ways, as long as we bring our minds together, we can find a way to help everyone feel somewhat accepted. We definitely don't have all the answers, and we're a long way from having all the answers. Right. We just have to be able to come to the table together, have open discussions like this. You know, that this is what's going to change the world. Discussions like this. We don't have to agree on everything, and we're not. We just have to be able to understand and respect each other.
Of course.
And I don't think we're ever going to have all the answers.
Right, I don't think it's ever going to be kumbaya.
Unfortunately, it just seems that way.
Right, this world is more like hell than heaven.
Yeah.
Either way, I gotta go. What was the last question? It was about not being bullied. So it's you. Have you been bullied?
Yeah, I was definitely bullied growing up. I was in chorus. I hang out with all the girls, but I hang out with all the girls for two reasons. One, I was a boy. I was trying to do my thing. And then, but also number two, I just felt more comfortable hanging out with girls. I didn't really grow up, like, watch, you know, big into sports or anything like that. So I didn't relate too much with the guys. They like to talk about everything they did, and that wasn't my style. So I got picked on a lot. You know, some kids call me faggot this and this, or you're gay because of that or whatever. You're too, you know, I was too feminine, you know, whatever. But it definitely takes a hit on you, because I would go home and I'm like, damn, why am I like this? Like, I don't want to be singled out. Like, I wish I could be more like this or be more like him. And, but I let that drive me. I let that motivate me and push me to do things that, you know, I never thought I was going to do. But specifically, I remember in the Navy one time, this officer just completely did not like me, you know, for whatever reasons. Obviously being gay was one of them. And small little hallway, I'm walking one way, he's walking another way, and he literally comes my way, bumps into me. I didn't care. I was an E5, or not, I think I was an E4. I just ripped off my uniform and I just went to start fighting with him, because it was at that moment I realized, I was like, look, no one else is going to talk about me and tell me or affect me and how I should feel or what I should think. And after that moment, I was like, we're done with the bullying. Like, no one else will ever have that power over me.
Right. And that was a police officer?
He was an officer. So you have officer and enlisted.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hopefully that didn't escalate. You know, some people are crazy, but I'm glad you're able to stand up for yourself.
Yeah, you for sure.
It's really a scary, like, you know, I get hot-headed, and we always have to understand, like, even though we know what's right and wrong, we never know.
Hot-headed?
Girl. Either way. I have a thin threshold to accept disrespect. I can't. But sometimes we might end up meeting, and I feel like we met the wrong person, but maybe I might meet the wrong person one day, you know, where even though I'm right, they still can harm me, you know. Yes. You never know, and we hope those things never encounter, but it's every, that happens to someone every day, and it's scary. The world is pretty messed up, you know. We actually had a little fear yesterday. I thought someone was following my car, like, found it was up the air tag, but it wasn't. It was my friend's air tag. And I was like, who the fuck is tracking me? I'm like, you're staying here tonight, Jorge. I'm like, I'm gonna sleep with my gun and everything. Like, I was nervous.
She has an obsession with guns, and
I'm not upset. I'm not obsessed. I just believe in protecting my, I'm a woman that lives by herself. Hey, What do Absolutely. You, I had an opportunity when I was harmed and abused to shoot someone, and I did not. That's always my last resort. I don't want to ever take anyone's life or harm them, because they know that always comes with a price, whether it's a price of guilt or if it's a price of worrying that they're going to retaliate or whatever the case would be. And I do not want to live with that. Mm-hmm. I do not want to live with that. So I would have to change my name, and I love my name. So it's...
To see a rose, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. I am not changing his name. So it's going to be on my gravestone. So yeah, shooting's the last resort. But if it's my life or yours, you're done. Like, you got to go. I'm sorry. I didn't want it. But I have to at least end it, so I don't have to worry about my head all the time. At least from you. Maybe someone else you love. Yeah. I don't know. Iwa, moving forward. Huh? So I guess the next, my dog, I'm so sorry if you hear her. She is, you don't? Thank goodness. Well, she's a Frenchie, but she snouts and makes all these crazy. Yeah. She's like eating right now. I'm like, worst timing.
North, go ahead.
And so anyways, now I'm going to move to the next, Jorge, leave it alone. So the next question is, who was your support system? And like, was it strong? Like, who would you call to? Like, did you ever feel like you were lucky enough to have a support system? I know, I believe you did. You said your family was very accepting, but you didn't have that. I believe
my family and friends. Yeah.
But he didn't. He didn't have his parents' support. Just kind of like...
So I had a cousin after everything, you know, that came about with me getting called by my dad or by my parents. I did come out to two specific cousins, and they were great support, but they were also the same age as me. They were, one of them was even younger than me. They were also girls, not gay. So they couldn't fully understand everything as much as they tried to, but that was my biggest support at that time. I don't think that I really had, like, one specific person to really get me through those dark days and those feelings and those emotions. I just kind of had to learn how to get through it by myself.
Right. And that's sometimes the reality of it. And it's really hard.
And for me, it was also.
So he resulted in drugs and alcohol. And everyone, you know, goes a different route, you know, and it's unfortunate. Some ways are negative. Some people have the positive. But you had what made you even go to drugs and alcohol if you felt your family accepted you? And
I've been doing drugs. That's because of the mental.
But I don't think that has to be anything.
It is, because it was a way for me to, like, numb everything that I was going inside of me. Like, literally the first time I had sex with a guy, I was 13 years old and I was drunk on this. Mm-hmm. And then the second time I was raped. That's because I was drunk too. So that was kind of like, it's not something that I've never told you either. I think that that's something that you didn't know.
I'm not. I think you have in a sense, but I don't know if we really got into it. But either way, sorry.
Wait, so hold on. Would you say that were you struggling more than with the gay aspect of it or just the rape aspect of it?
Right.
Well, I mean, the rape thing just sucked altogether, but like, I was already numbing everything with like substance, yeah. So I could say to say that I've had substance abuse issues. I was like very, very young.
Right.
But that's why I say drugs were like a part of like that support too, because
yeah.
They just numbed everything.
It's really crucial to
have. And it's taken me a long time to be able to talk about that and just be open about my.
But your mother, I think she helped you like make you feel a little more comfortable with your journey, right, and your experience a little bit, even though you were struggling within.
But it was already kind of late by that. Like, I'm talking about 13 to, like, by the time I came out to my mom, I was like, almost 18? Well, no, but 19, but when I met him, so it's like, kind of, like, late. Then all those...
Well, it's never late, too late to have a support system. And unconditional love, I would always feel like it's not a cure, but it's like, a good medicine to have. Because without it, like, I never experienced that in my life. I never had anyone that truly loved me growing up all alone. So I wouldn't know what that's like. I have, like, we have a friend, even my friends, I love them to death, but I cannot rely on my hands to say, you're going to be there to the end. Like, I just can't. I don't have families in a sense. Like, my brother just came in my life recently. Like, I didn't have that growing up. I was on my own. They fed me to the wolves and, you know, and I understand, like, this is one reason I'm doing this, to make sure people don't be alone, you know, and how do you overcome? I wish I knew certain things that I did now, and because I didn't have anyone to talk to about this kind of And you know, we all have our journey, but sometimes internalizing can make it a bigger problem within ourselves. So it's hard, and we don't want those mental health issues, and we don't want to have to resort to substance or violence or whatever the case may be, or hurting ourselves, you know. So
yeah.
So I wanted to ask you one question on your support. Was your ex-wife supportive
at the time coming out?
Yeah.
No, no. she was with every do right. She was upset. She was.
I would have fucked you up.
She felt betrayed. She felt lied to. She felt taken advantage of. She felt a lot of things.
Those things suck. Feeling like all those emotions.
Yeah, and then it sucks when you know you didn't purposely cause it, but you were the reason that caused it. Right. And then it was hard, you know, we were going through our divorce, our separation, and I went from losing my best friend, my wife, to, you know, I lost that person. It took years to get back, but I can proudly and happily say that me and my daughter's mother have a beautiful relationship. She is my best friend. I love her to death. Even when I go home for vacation, I live in Florida. My family's all in Jersey. So, you know, when I go home, I stay at her house. I love her husband. Their daughter calls me Theo. We have a beautiful relationship. And I am so grateful every day that she didn't give up on me. And she stayed there and she tried to learn and understand. And then eventually we rebuilt what we had as kids to be in our adult lives and transfer that love and support to our daughter.
Right. And you got, I guess, the blessing out of all of it, mostly is, besides just the friendship, is the daughter. And
oh, yeah, because
sure. I know that's a struggle for gay males, you know, to have children. Or
I
even
wish I could have children, but I think it's too late for me.
It's never too late.
I don't even like kids anymore. Fuck that.
See, yeah, that's a different story. shouldn't have them.
Maybe if I'm like super rich and I can have like.
Or I think you need to control your like the substance issue, history, mental health issue, you know, just overall, just the past.
It's good.
Yeah. Anyway, moving forward, how do you guys feel about the LGBTQ plus community? How do you guys personally feel about it? With you, obviously, because everyone varies on that. Even people that are gay themselves.
Who wants to go?
You want to answer first, Jorge?
Go ahead.
Well, me personally, I'm not like, I support the LGBT community. You know, you're my people. Like, they're my people. But is it we love everybody, we welcome everybody? Like, no, it's not. It's very toxic. And in my opinion, it's a very, very dangerous community. I only speak from my, my experience, because, you know, the depth of like my story and like how deep in a hole I've gotten, and mm-hmm. I've just seen things in the gay community that are just things that I wish I've never seen before. And you know, I literally almost died, you know. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't even be here today. Do I think it's a very toxic, very mean girl kind of community? Yeah, it is. And it's very like clicky, and that's why I've never really like fully 100%. You know me, all my friends are straight, heterosexual friends. I only have like one gay best friend. Do I support it? Do I think that should it be legal? Do I think, yeah, I think we should be definitely open about it. But am I like, I don't know. Like, I think I answered it. Huh?
Yeah, you answered it. I think
it's very unsafe. I'm just telling you, it's a crazy, crazy.
I think it's a support group for those who don't have anyone. Like if I, you know, which I'll lead down to later in the conversation when I provide my advice. Mm-hmm. But I can understand your perspective, and that's your journey through your experience. And for someone else, it may be very completely different. And just because of the people you ran and encountered into, it would be different than a different person encountered
with. It's just, you know, more common now. Like.
I also believe it's also where you're located, because the way the community is in New York, it's going to be different than if it's in Oregon.
Yeah, New York is worse. You go to New York, California, man.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Where you are location-wise varies on the type of energy. Like, I went to Canada recently, and I was like, this city is the most respectful city I've been in. Like, people were on the escalators, all stay on the right side, and for people that are in a rush to go, and it was like, actually seemed like it was mandatory, because you look crazy if you were on the left side.
Well, I also don't want to speak on like or make it seem like, oh my god, the community's bad. No, it's not. Like there's good and there's bad, right? So okay. There's a lot of good people, and like I don't want to speak on everybody. I just, you know, I think, you know, you have to be careful, and
there's good and bad in every community.
There is love and acceptance, but I feel like that's what we would run with. Like, oh, we're all about love and acceptance, and in my opinion, that's just not very accurate. So
I think I know this because I mean obviously we've been friends now for over 10 years. So I know exactly what you're saying or trying to say. I think the way to really sum it up would just be that for a community that's supposed to be so love and accepting and no hate, we need to practice what we preach, because that's not what's happening inside the community. Sure, there's this rainbow road and we're saying this and we're showing that, but behind closed doors, that's not what's happening. Behind closed doors, there's the cliques, there's the twinks, the dads, the bods, the this, the that. And then if you don't look like the one group, then you don't belong in that group. God forbid you look like two different groups, then you struggle with which one you belong to more.
I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
So it's just hard to be like part of a community that says we're going to do this, but we really don't do that. Nice. So for me, I just found my love and my passion within the small group of gay friends that I do have. And we have very similar interests that align. None of us look the same. We're all different. And you feel that kind of how you don't belong factor in the greater community. That's unfortunate. But as you get older, you accept it. You make peace of it. Okay. It's like, it is what it is. You know, at the end of the day, I'm still going to live my life. I'm still going to do what I want to do. It sucks that is not everyone's mindset all the time, but you know what, like you said, every community I'm sure has these issues. It's not just ours, right. But it is unfortunate that it does exist in a community that is so about love and acceptance. It's really not like that all the time.
Then how do you feel about the gay community? It's not, you haven't answered the question, like what's your take?
I mean, obviously, I fight for rights. I believe in gay marriage and gay adoption and this and that and everything. And I support the community, but it's not something that I have to always be a part of. I'm more than being gay. I'm a military member. I'm a dad. I'm a son. I'm a father. You know, I'm a runner. I'm a raver. I'm all these things. Being gay isn't the only thing that defines me.
It's not the only.
Not specifically belonging to it. I made peace with that a long time ago. They can have it their way, because I'm definitely going to have it my way.
Right.
That's a good one, right.
You can put it on a t-shirt.
Hold on now. This call's being recorded. I want my money.
He wants his percent, bro. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I like your perspective, and you're right. It's in every community, and like, you know, you're supposed to uplift each other. Instead, sometimes we're tearing each other down. It's just like what happened with the, you know, the five black cops that hurt the Tyree guy. You know, you say it's black on black crime at that point, because they're saying, oh, the, you know, the, it's white police, so it's racist. If they were white males, they would have said it was racism. But instead, it's abuse of empowerment. Some of it's not always racist. Sometimes they're just abusing their power. But if you're a minority, it's automatically in the line of racism. But regardless, it all goes down to basically hurting the people that we're supposed to be supporting and helping, you know, come from the bottom to the top. You know, they're in a position where they can uplift the black community. Instead, they're hurting it, you know? Yes. So, and I would love to, that's a whole nother topic to hear why they did that.
That's a whole
nother topic. Yeah, but either way.
That's a whole nother episode, okay?
Yeah. We'll get to that point. But anyways, I'm going to go on. So you guys both, I think you've been with a girl before. You've been with a girl, obviously, have a beautiful child that I see. And then, before my last question of advice would be, is the dating scene. Now, what is that like? You see a guy you like, and who takes out who? That's like, what is it like in the dating world being a gay male? Like, is there a rule like, oh, if he doesn't text me today, or like, how do you guys communicate you're like, because you know, if you're expecting, like, you're dating and you know, heterosexuals, I would think the man would take the action to move forward. But if you're both males, then you have to have a, this kind of discussion between you two, right? Or I'm confused. Like,
go ahead, Steve, answer that one.
Well, for me, it's about equality. We're both men, and there, I don't like to put anyone into like the roles. Like some people would say, oh, well, then a top, you're the man, and a bottom's the girl, and so therefore the top pays and this and that. Like, no, we're both men, we're both equal. We should come into this open communication. Even like when it comes to paying the bill, I got it one day, you got it one day. If that's not the way you want to do it, we could go half and half every single time too. But that's through communication. You learn how you want to date that person. Every person you date, especially because it's a
man. No, we're talking about when you first start dating. Like, you can't. Well, for me, like, if I'm dating, like, if we start talking.
Want to tell him about your problems for me?
No, no, like, for me, like, I'm not going to go into somebody that I just met and be like, well, who's going to pay the bill, you or me? No. I feel like I agree with you.
More than I'll always pay the bill the first time. Or I'm always
going to try. I agree with you. I feel like if, like, well, you had, last time you asked me this, and I'm going to answer the question. I feel like if I invite you on a date, I'm going to pay for dinner. I'm going to pick up the tab. If you invite me, then I would expect you to pick up the tab. That's just common courtesy, too.
But then what if we both just decided, hey, let's go to lunch?
Yeah, but who would, but obviously somebody's going to take their, like, who's going to make
who's that? Who's the one that brought it up?
Yeah.
I feel like that's a little game-ish.
Right.
I it's feel like for me, you know, it's just, hey, I had it last time, you had it this one. I had the first round, you had the second round.
Well, that too, I mean, I just feel like...
I guess the initial, I guess it's like, okay.
The initial, I feel like for the initial, like...
It's harder for you guys, I feel like, because...
Not really.
You communicate that that's after what I would just... the first few dates or date or two, but getting to the first date, how you even come about this? How, if you see someone at a bar, who pays for the drink? Who gets whose number? How do you even communicate? Like, one person might be like, oh, I just talk as I go. Or how do you know to talk every day? Like, his problem right now, you want to tell him about your problem?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
What problem? I don't have problems. Oh. That's what you're talking about.
Okay.
We're over that.
Okay. Moving forward. But yeah, what is your perspective on the initial part? Because I feel like, as women, we just expect the men to do it. Like, that's an automatic thing. Like, some women will go forward, but that's like a shocker for men.
Honestly, when the first time that we went out, whatever, who did it? I think it was you, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I paid.
Yeah, he did pay.
Oh.
I did.
But
I drove
in those days. I would drive in those days.
For me, I'm not gonna go out on a date, first of all, if I can't afford it, one for myself or two for the other person in that moment. Especially it goes back to me inviting. If I say, hey, let's go on this date, that was my idea, it's my treat, it's a first date, I'm definitely gonna pay. But then on the second date, I'm looking for the signs like, okay, are you always going to be expecting me to pay, or are you going to try to pay yourself also? Do you want to go half and half? I start looking for those signs because, let's be real.
Like
After 3 dates, you kind of already know which way you're going to start going with the person.
Right.
As early as that sounds, you do. Because in the beginning stages, we're breaking everything down. So, you know. So at that point, if I want to move forward with a guy, I'm going to want to see that initiative, that drive. Like, all right, like, he's cool with paying. He's cool with me paying. There's no macho to alpha versus alpha here. We're just both two guys that are trying to get to know each other and see where this goes.
It's like a good flow.
Right.
Like, yeah, it should flow. It should be easy.
It should just be easy and natural. Yes. That's when
if you have to think too much about it, if I have to start like, oh, my God, this or that, then I'm probably not in the right situation.
Right. I agree. That's good to know. Thank you for clarifying. I have one more question, but I want to ask you a little quick question a little debate that he didn't want to answer. So I'm going to, it might make you uncomfortable. You don't have to answer it. No. Is it gay? Do you remember the question?
I don't.
Is it gay? So a guy, now he says he's 100% gay. Well, no. A guy that's 100% straight. 100% straight. Sorry. Two guys in one girl hole. Two dicks. Is that gay or is that straight? Or is that bi?
At the same time?
Yeah, they, like two guys basically scissoring in one girl's hole. What is that?
I
don't think it's gay. I know enough guys that are super confident and comfortable with who they are and
their sexuality. Yep.
That's just what it is. I've had a threesome with one of my straight boys, and he knew that I was gay. And he was okay because he was that comfortable in his sexuality.
How did that go? Because that's a little confusing. There's a threesome with a straight guy, a gay guy, and a girl. How does that work out? Because obviously you're not into the girl, so what are you doing?
In my mind, I was fucking her. Well, in physical form, I'm fucking her, but in my mind, I'm fucking him. Keep it going, to keep my dick hard. But again, that was many years ago. That was the bi stages of things. The point is, he was that comfortable in his sexuality where he's like, you're not going to do anything to me. Like, and I definitely don't want to do anything to you. So this is okay.
I feel like it's a little gay. I'm just saying, if you're all comfortable, and there's nothing wrong with it, but if you're
comfortable. Or maybe there's just a little curiosity.
Or yeah, curiosity.
Does that necessarily mean it's
or bi, or like bi, like, and I'm saying you're completely gay, like, you know what I mean? You like women, obviously, I would hope, or if, you know, maybe not, or like going through your transition too. Who knows? That could be part of your transition. If you're willing to share a hole and put a dick on another man's dick, there's some kind of curiosity to being bi or more. So
that's... I feel like a lot of men these days are a little curious. Well, you know,
more so. You hear about
this conversation a lot. I have more sex with straight men that are married.
They're not straight. They're just in the closet.
Whatever. They're married. They have rings on, and that's literally.
Well, if they're only.
That's literally my MO.
That's more questionable.
I love straight men.
If they're just having sex with a guy one-on-one, they deliberately went to meet you and hook up with you.
They're gay.
I mean, you know what's funny? They're normal.
But if we're just having fun and something happens, they could be comfortable.
Has this ever happened to you? But like, well, I hook up with a lot of them. I don't know if I'm a magnet for them, but normally they're the bottom. Like I would expect, you know, they're going to come in.
Because they can't get that in their heterosexual relationship.
Crazy. But I'm here for it. I love it. For all you straight guys that want to. Okay.
So I'm going to ask the last question just because it is coming to that time and, you know, it's getting a little later, but I want to ask my final question. And basically is, what advice would you provide to someone like yourself in your earlier days or even someone now, anything that you think that'd be useful to help someone in their process or something, something you learned that you didn't know that can help them, for both of you?
At a younger age, I think the biggest problem with telling yourself advice at a younger age is that we don't take advice at a young age. We think we know it all. We think we have all the answers. We have it all figured out. You know, your mom tells you to do something. Yeah, I know. No, you don't fucking know. You know, I go through that with my daughter all the time. So is there one specific piece that like, oh my God, do this or do that? No. But I would say is stay true to yourself. You are feeling things. Go find someone to talk to. Find a therapist.
Yes.
Therapy is A-okay. It's 100% recommended. I believe in it. It got me through some very dark times in my life. Even last week, I had a moment. I was having an anxiety attack. A lot of things were happening. I called my therapist. I made an appointment, and I was there 45 minutes later. So you're going to live through your own experiences, and you have to live through your own experiences because they're your experiences, and they're going to shape your life. My life is already shaped. So be true to yourself. Don't think that you're ugly or weird or different, but you are different, but you're different in a good way. Find the person you want to talk to, be honest with them, and find therapy.
I agree.
It's good advice.
I mean, yeah, therapy saved my life, literally. So if you have struggles, anybody, like, go get therapy, go get a psychiatrist, get on the meds if you have to. I wouldn't depend on the meds, get off the meds, have a plan, but definitely like just take care of it. If you don't take care of this, there's no point. You got to take care of what's up here for everything else to just work right.
Right.
Yes.
You know?
My only advice is because not everyone has the resources for those kind of things or the medical, you know, insurance for it, is to, if you have no friends, you don't have any family that you can really rely on that support system, reach out, if any possible, to a local library, find a support group that like the LGBTQ.
Google, but, yeah. You know?
So find as much as you can, because I think they're the, honestly, if you're scared and nervous to come out, finding someone to walk and be there supporting you, I think that should be a first step, is finding someone to go along with those steps and asking their advice of how they went through it. So they can, if they need to cry, they know who to cry to. They know they're not doing, they're not crying by themselves, which affects their mental health, you know? So I really think that would be my, because I know not everyone's, you know, no matter where you are, no one has the funds for these resources, you know? So I think it's just finding someone like yourself, which is probably the hardest part sometimes, depending where you're located. And absolutely. And there's many, maybe even more people like them, but they're not, you know, coming out. And I think once that one person is, they don't know the, you coming out might help the next person come out, might help them feel better about the scenario. So yeah. I think it's like nothing to be ashamed of, and to know that nothing, that even if you're getting shamed, if you're getting bullied, if you're going through something, it is a temporary situation. Life will move on. Don't hold those feelings in, because at that point, or that grudge or that or anything, because tomorrow's a new day. It doesn't feel like it, but I promise you a year later, it's not the same. Yeah. I was in a toxic relationship last year, and you know, look at me now. It's all gone, you know, and it's not the same. At the end of the day, it's about moving forward. As a high schooler or someone as a younger, you just think it's forever, and it's not.
It's not.
Yes, and it's that's where a lot of suicide comes in, and it's so sad because it's a permanent thing. And then, you know, and you can't obviously, like, after, we don't know if you can regret it after, but your family feels it, and the people that did love, and you don't. I don't know. It's just it's so sad. None of them love them or anyone would support them. You're not living for them. You're living for yourself. And because this is the only life that we know that we have, don't like use all your time. Like
you got to do the work, you know, you got to want to do things for yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
If you're doing something for somebody else, you're doing the wrong thing.
That should be the right reason. Yep.
You're not doing it for the right reason. You can't do anything for anybody else. You got to do it for yourself.
Only for you.
Long time.
But that's something that, you know, we're kind of like, we're told like, don't be selfish. Don't be greedy. Be selfish, be greedy, take care of you. If it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't right. But don't act on emotions. That's where therapy and groups and all these things, find the support system. Doesn't have to be local. Could be through the library, could be through the internet, could be wherever. But find the support that works for you, because unfortunately, you aren't the first person going through it, and you're definitely not going to be the last person going through it. So it's up to us to...
Even though there is people like you guys, you know, and same topic line, doesn't mean your journey is obviously different. And theirs will be different. That's okay. You are alone, but you're not alone. That's exactly. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's something similar in some shape or form. So it's like branches. So I appreciate you guys for sharing, because I know sometimes it's hard. I know sometimes when everyone's as comfortable to share their stories and are still more, I don't know how you'd say, conservative with it, I guess, you know, just with their stories, because it, I don't know, they have their feelings. It's like any topic, it's like talking about rape or something. Some people are just like, no, I don't want to talk about that. And I applaud you guys for being open and unwilling. So thank you.
If it's going to help somebody, then I'm
thank right. you. Exactly. If I could impact one person, that's all that matters.
That's the goal. That's 100%. It's just something I do for free, for fun, just so I know what it's like, and I, you know, notice not everyone's as strong as me, and I wish more people were, you know, and that's what I'm trying to encourage, is strength within others, you know,
and from love and positivity.
Love that. Yes.
So thank you again, Steve. And thank God
we got
this internet working and the signal.
Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Yes. Oh, thank you.